Item number 12.
11.
11, excuse me.
If you'd like to pass this off to Chip, he's been doing a good job. What are we on? White Sands Harbor?
Mr. Chairman, associate members, it's been a long day and I'll be as brief as possible. The White Sands Harbor Property Owners Association requests after-the-fact authorization to retain 7 8-foot-long by 7-foot-wide open-topped precast concrete hexagonal offshore breakwater structures and associated support piles and authorization to replace the remaining existing rectangular breakwater structures with hexagonal breakwater structures as needed adjacent to the community property situated adjacent to the Potomac River in Northumberland County. White Sands Harbor is a residential subdivision located approximately 14 miles east of Heathsville, the county seat, at the confluence of Cubitt Creek and the Potomac River, and it happens to have a north-northeast fetch of approximately 25 miles. Here's a closer view of it showing Cubitt Creek and the common area right here. We're right on the Potomac, right toward the mouth of the Potomac. I provided to you a 2002 aerial photograph, which shows the prior presence of prior to the breakwater installation, there were timber groins along the shoreline. You can see the remnants of them right here. In May of 2005, the Property Owners Association submitted an application seeking authorization to place approximately 2,400 cubic yards of beach nourishment in association with the deployment of 3 sections of precast concrete rectangular nearshore breakwater boxes, referred to by the designer as breaker boxes. These structures were to be deployed approximately 80 feet channelward of mean low water. In all, this totaled 36 individual boxes. In addition, there was a 45-foot spur installed adjacent to the community area. The wetlands portion of the project was approved by the Northumberland County Wetlands Board on July 17, 2005, and the entire project was authorized by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers shortly after on July 18th. What you see here is the original concept. There are 3 breakwater structures, and there was sand nourishment behind it. Here is the spit of land. The confluence is off the screen to the left where the arrow is indicating. Lowe's Pond is behind it. These are the original drawings. The smaller spur structures here. These are the larger, the original 2000. These are the breaker boxes. They're a little bit bigger. And also there are structures that the designer refers to as sea logs. These are precast concrete structures that were intended to be deployed along the base of the breaker boxes and the outward side of the breakwaters to reduce scour at the base of the structures. Prior to July 1st, 2005, structures that I just described that encroach channelward of mean low water along the Potomac did not require permits from the Marine Resources Commission if the structures were placed entirely in Maryland waters. As such, staff determined that the commission had no jurisdiction over the original project when the White Sands Harbor application was first reviewed in May of 2005. Effective July 1st, 2005, shortly after the original review, Section 28.2101 of the Code of Virginia was added, which broadened the Commission's authority to include jurisdiction over all structures and improvements built or proposed by riparian owners along the Potomac River. While this did not convey ownership of the Sebaquius Bottom from the state of Maryland to the Commonwealth of Virginia, it did mean that as of July 1, 2005, any structure or improvement in the Potomac River beyond the mean low water line appurtenant to the Virginia shoreline required a permit from VMRC. Had the project, which I described, and the project design and materials not been changed, staff would not have raised the jurisdictional issue at all, since the initial application was prior to the law changing. As it turned out, in September 2005, the first three breakwater structures, composed of rectangular concrete units and a smaller spur, were deployed as originally proposed. Staff understood that the individual concrete units were floated up from a downstream access point, which is in about the location of this cul-de-sac back here. They were deployed from a downriver access point, floated up and scuttled in place. The near shore area inboard of the breakwaters was also nourished with beach quality sand. Subsequently, the breakwater system was apparently extensively damaged by Tropical Storm Ernesto. The Property Owners Association then undertook repairs, including altering the design of the breakwater structures, and I'm going to show you some of that in just a moment. At present, the association would like to retain the 7 8-foot-long by 7-foot-wide precast hexagonal units that replace portions of the damaged breakwater system, and furthermore be allowed to replace the additional portions of the failing breakwater with new hex boxes as the need arises in the future. These are the new hex boxes in this location here. I'm going to bring you a little bit closer, but this is what the boxes look like just a few weeks ago, maybe a week or two ago. Here's a closer view. This is the upstream breakwater section. You can see that this has sustained some damage and settled extensively, but it's still intact and has not been modified. This is the center breakwater section, the 2008 aerial, and you'll notice that there's 5 of these boxes on the side here. 2 hex boxes were installed on the upriver side of the breakwater closest to the mouth of the Potomac River, and they appear here. These represent voids and areas where the boxes were breached, as well as here. Here's another damaged box. This is an after-the-fact project drawing. It's in your packet. It shows what's there now. One of the points that you'll notice here is that there are hex boxes located in this location and here along these 3 breakwater units, and then the spur, which basically is pretty stable. It hasn't moved a whole lot. Here's a schematic drawing, a drawing of after-the-fact project drawing of the hex boxes. You'll notice they're obviously hexagonal in shape. They also have openings. Also, they're concrete pins at the base to stabilize them. In addition, there are also stabilizations also supplied by a number of pilings that have been installed. Here's another view showing the hex box. This is a side profile view showing the distance offshore. And also you'll notice that the pins locate the efforts by the designer to stabilize the structure. And you'll notice it's rather shallow. Here's a ground shot taken recently showing the upstream breakwater with that one voided section there. Here's the center breakwater from a ground perspective. Here's a little closer view. During a routine compliance inspection on July 9, 2007, commission staff noted what appeared to be 7 hexagonal precast concrete structures that had been incorporated into the breakwater system. In addition, there appeared to be a concrete There appear to be concrete debris littering the river floor associated with various broken breaker box units. Following that inspection, a notice to comply was forwarded to the association, and a joint permit application requesting after-the-fact authorization was quickly followed. A public interest review was conducted. No individual or agency objection to the after-the-fact request was received. According to the applicant, in October 2006, following Tropical Storm Ernesto, a decision was made by the Property Owners Association to remove portions of the damaged breakwater system and to replace them with a newly developed hex box, which you see in the on the picture here. That was marked. This is marketed by Cement Solutions, the designer of the original rectangular box breaker box units. Cement Solutions believes that the new design to be an improvement as compared to the original breaker box design. Since the new hexagonal replacement has a smaller footprint, and no additional breakwater, no additional beach nourishment was proposed, the Property Owners Association believed that no additional authorization was required. Here's a closer view of the hex box, and we're back on the aerial again. The Virginia Institute of Marine Science, in their shoreline permit application report, recommended the use of a traditional stone breakwater structure in this high energy environment. However, their report points out, points out that since there appears to be some accretion behind the existing structures, there may be some merit in allowing the structures to remain. This would enable further monitoring to assess the suitability of these structures to be performed. BIMS also recommends additional beach nourishment to reduce the impact on the downdrift littoral system as a result of the breakwater system. No other agency has objected to the project. As a summary and recommendation, staff would like to propose the following. Staff continues to be concerned over the use of non-traditional modular systems deployed in high energy systems where the use of a properly designed riprap revetment structure is both preferred and likely more cost effective in the long term. However, in consideration of the timing of the original application and the reason the Property Owners Association opted for the hex box insulation initially, staff believes the applicant should be allowed to retain the 7 hex boxes which were deployed after the commission assumed jurisdiction of the Potomac River under the condition that all of the concrete debris must be removed from the river within 90 days. Should the Property Owner Association wish to deploy any additional hex boxes or any subsequent design structures, a permit application would be required and must be approved before any such action could occur. Should the Commission elect to authorize retention of the existing hex boxes, staff recommends an appropriate civil charge and triple fees in lieu of any further enforcement action based on minimal degree of noncompliance and a minimum degree of environmental impact. And that concludes my talk. I'll clear the podium. If you have any questions, I'd love to hear from them.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you. I just have one, and that, I just wanted to ask for the rationale on the civil charge. Is it simply that there was a departure from the original structure?
Yes, and they're basically in the same location. They're also smaller. The original units were 80 square feet, and the new units are 40.
Thank you.
Mr. Schick?
As far as BIM's recommendation to fill behind the boxes and beach nourishment, you didn't mention.
I didn't mention that because that wasn't on the table with the applicant. There's also a concern over the impact it might have on tiger beetles. But Bill Estelle, the agent for the application, I'm sure will discuss that in detail, sir.
And I don't know if you know this, but the answer to this, but would they have had to have gone to Maryland to get a permit to do what they did if the jurisdiction had stayed the same?
I'm not at liberty to elaborate on that. I don't know, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you. Is the applicant or his representative here?
Yes.
Yes, sir. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Would you state your name, please?
I'm Bill Estelle.
Okay.
I am the treasurer and the agent for White Sand Harbor. That is an unpaid, time-consuming, frustrating, and totally thankless job. But I've managed to hold on to it for 12 years. I think the staff has done an excellent job of presenting you with the picture. There are some things that I would like to add, however. The staff's pictures are much better than the ones that I have. I am technically challenged here. I would just like to be
okay,
overview.
That.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Okay. Just I need all the help I can get. Just a moment. Okay. Just place it there. Thank you. Okay. As the staff pointed out, White Sand Harbor did receive a permit 05-1152 in July of 2005. And as they have reiterated, there was only one authorizing agent for this permit. It was the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The Northumberland Wetlands Board was interested only in the beach nourishment that we provided for the project, and the breakwaters were out of their jurisdiction. As the breakwaters were out of this jurisdiction for this agency, and there was no authorization required. All conditions of the permit were met, and the project was concluded in December 2005. This is what we started with. In September 2005, this was the White Sand Harbor Beach. And the Homeowners Association had been studying this problem for 2 years. We had gone to every agency, including VIMS. And we went to VIMS for advice and help. And they, as always, were very helpful and gave us advice. VIMS was concerned about the breakwater boxes in the initial permit. And they advocated lots of rock. And the reason that we were unable to do that, although we agreed that rock breakwaters are certainly the premier way to go. It was a question of finances in our poor homeowners association. The lowest permit, the lowest estimate that we got for stone breakwaters to accomplish this task was nearly $800,000. We chose the breakwater system because we could get that and do the job for a little over $220,000. The cost of rock now has gone up considerably in the past 3 years. This is what the project looked like in January of 2006 when we were completed. I have an aerial view here. I'm sorry, these are not photos. They're not covering very well. I have an aerial view here, but basically it shows the tubular distribution of sand, how it has built up behind the breakwaters, which was exactly what we intended for them to do. This was in July 2006. In September 2006, Tropical Storm Ernesto hit the Northern Neck. A devastating storm. Catastrophic damage to most of the waterfront in the entire neck, both the Rappahannock and the Potomac. We were also impacted by that storm. It basically destroyed 7 of our rectangular boxes, and the boxes were destroyed by wave-driven debris in the Potomac. Piers, pilings, decks, bulwarks. Many of this material was driven through the boxes. There was no way that that could be sustained or without damage. It also did a tremendous devastation to our beach, which we had just completed. We responded immediately to repair the damage and replace the broken boxes with our contractor, Cement Shoreline Construction, who stood shoulder to shoulder with us during this entire devastating adventure with Ernesto. The second generation hexagonal boxes were stronger, smaller, smaller profile, greater flow through holes, and the most important part of the box was that the footprint on the subaqueous bottom was 1/2 of what the rectangular box previously had been, 40 square feet versus 80 square feet for the rectangular box. So the impact on the subaqueous bottom was considerably less. We deployed the boxes, 7 of them. No sooner had we done that and repaired and cleaned up the beach than we were struck by 2 very severe nor'easters in December and January. And much of the damage that we had just replaced, the weakened boxes that were damaged by Ernesto, 5 of them were broken this time. When asked why we did this, as I said, the only authorizing agency was the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And I felt that Permit 05-1152, we believed that the repair to our boxes fell under the auspice of the Nationwide Permit Number 3 for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And if I could just read this for you. Nationwide Permit Number 3 authorizes the repair, rehabilitation, or replacement of any previously authorized, currently serviceable structure, provided the structure is not put to uses differing from those specified or contemplated in the original permit. Minor deviation in the structure's configuration, including those due to changes in materials, construction techniques that are necessary to make the repair and rehabilitation or replacement, are authorized. This national permit authorizes the repair, rehabilitation, or replacement of those structures destroyed or damaged by storms. It was our feeling that this applied precisely to the program, to our breakwater situation. We did not know that VMRC's jurisdiction had changed to Maryland waters until the staff made their inspection in July of 2006. Should we have known? Perhaps. But things move a little slower on the northern neck. And we didn't get the word. And we did not have the word until the staff showed up to let us know about it.
We just got the Pony Express.
My board panicked after the meeting with the staff, and the letter to comply was given us, and the size of the fines that we were facing, and the $25 a day non-compliance if we did anything nefariously involved with the breakwaters. And so we immediately filed an after-the-fact permit to replace the broken boxes. That permit was filed on 29 August 2007. We're talking about that permit today on the 25th of March 2008. Is there debris on the bottom of the Potomac right now where the boxes are? Yes, there are. Because for 7 months, we have been unable to do anything to repair or modify our breakwaters. 7 months. The difficulty that we have and we are faced with now is that we only have 2 months to repair, replace our breakwater structures before we find ourselves in the middle of the 2008 hurricane season. And the reason for that is because when the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers granted our permit, they also put in a special stipulation that we can move nothing over the beach from the 1st of June until the 15th of September. 15th of September is the peak period for hurricanes on the Northern Neck. And the reason we can't do this, and I'm not making this up, it's the mating season of the tiger beetle. I've never seen a tiger beetle, and I've never found anybody who has ever seen a tiger beetle. But we are very cautiously protecting their right to mate from 1 June to 15 September. When we submitted our after-the-fact permit, we had hoped that we would get permission to repair the boxes before we were in extremis for the hurricane season. When we submitted the permit, and as the staff has pointed out, there was no dissent from any organization, no dissent from any neighbors, and no dissent from caution from them, but they timidly recommended that we continue and be allowed to continue the project. And we fully understand VIMS's feeling about the breakwaters, but it was strictly a financial burden on our small community to be able to do that. We request today, basically, humbly, three things: past, present, and future. We would request that the Commission grant Joint Permit Application VMRS 07, 1956, that will allow authorization to, one, retain the boxes that we have replaced, number two, immediately allow us to replace the five boxes that have to be replaced. And I want to show you what Mr. Madden has already shown you a better picture of what the boxes look like, but that's basically the profile. This is what we're dealing with now. You can see the hex boxes are a tremendous improvement over the rectangular boxes. This is what our breakwater looks like now. This is breakwater number one. There are four broken boxes in there, which is very nearly ineffective for what it's trying to do to cure sand behind it on the beach. So we would like to replace the five that need to be replaced immediately so we can accomplish this work. And the plan is in hand. We're ready to go to get those boxes replaced by the 1st of June, tiger beetle time. We would also like to replace the remaining rectangular breakwater structures, as it is pointed out in the permit, as needed. They're not needed now. They may be in the future, and we would like to be able to replace the rectangular boxes with our hexagonal boxes as needed, and any time in the future when it is so deemed. Additionally, we would request that there be no civil charge for our homeowners association, since we were carrying out the permit authorization of the Army Corps of Engineers. And secondly, if this permit is permitted, we would like to pay not three permit prices, but one. Gentlemen, it's been a long day, and I appreciate your attention. I had plenty of time to review the staff summary, which I received at 9:15 this morning, so I've had plenty of time to go over it. I think they did a wonderful job, but I understood everything except the summary and the recommendations, which I've hopefully clarified for you here.
Excuse me, I have one thing. The pictures that you presentation, I'd like to have those. We'll keep them for 30 days and see that you get them back.
You may keep them as long as you like. That's
okay, now then, if anybody has any questions, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question, follow-up question for staff at this point. And that is, let's see, the applicant has asked to be able to replace five boxes. Is that part of the JPA application?
Well, we never received a proposal to repair or any drawings or methodology for the replacement of it.
Is an application necessary for the board to approve that?
I think what I would refer to Bob on that.
I think if the commission wants to grant authorization to replace all of them with hex boxes, you can do that. What our problem is if next week the new improved octagonal, 3D box is developed, Where do you draw the line? But certainly, if you want to authorize all of them to be sequentially replaced, you certainly have the authority to do that.
But if we authorize what they've asked for, that is the five boxes, and then subsequently require that they come back and file an application to make any additional modifications in the future, then that would afford at least the commission the opportunity to review.
Had the commission issued a permit, we would have been treating this as a modification. And if someone came in and basically wanted to modify the permit for either, a new structure or to replace something under maintenance and repair, we'd be looking at whether that was authorized and could be authorized by staff, whether it qualified under maintenance and repair. At this point, there really isn't any authorization for anything. So if one grants the after the fact for the structures, which are there now and were, subsequent to July 1st, 2005, and wants to authorize not just the original drawings, which were for the rectangular boxes, but an after-the-fact permit including the existing replaced hex boxes, as well as an authorization to replace other damaged rectangular boxes with hex boxes as they become necessary. I think the commission can do that. We really use the permit to gauge compliance, and there's not a permit as it exists right now.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Schick has a question of the applicant.
The hex boxes, are they the same width as the rectangle boxes?
No, they're not.
So
the hex box, the the rectangular boxes are 8 feet. The footprint is 8 feet by 10 feet.
So how do you intend on accounting for the difference when you put one in between two rectangular boxes?
We have a plan. The The overall length of the boxes, the overall length of the breakwaters does not change. The number of breakwaters, the number of boxes, the number of hex boxes. Let me refer to Mr. Veazey, who is the contractor, and he can explain this more succinctly than I can. They are slightly not as wide. And Warren, may I?
If you come forward, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you. Can you state your name, please?
Warren Veazey, Vice President, Siemens Petroleum Systems Incorporated. As it is right now, we have 5 hex boxes in the middle breakwater, 2 in the first breakwater. The repair would be moving those 2 back to the middle breakwater, taking the 7 existing rectangular boxes and using those to replace the 5 broken ones and the 2 that we're moving from the downriver breakwater. So at the end of this situation, the first and the third breakwater would be all rectangular, and the middle breakwater would be all hexagonal. But we would add 1 more hexagonal box because they are 2 feet shorter, and we'd actually end up with numerically the same length.
And to remove the old ones,
the old good ones,
and putting them into a new area, what is the effect on the environment and disturbance of?
We basically scoop up the broken box, put it into the neighboring good box, fill it inside of it. This is what we did before too. We moved 3 boxes into the downriver breakwater. You basically pump the water out, float them over, slide it into that new clear spot because they don't have a tongue and groove. We couldn't do that with the new boxes. These are pure rectangular, so you can slide right into a broken space and sink it, and you're done. So there is no change in footprint or anything. The only disturbance is
basically floated in. Right.
We couldn't do that with the new hex boxes because they have a tongue and groove, so you can't really swap them around.
But the old rectangular boxes have a bottom.
Yeah, they all
pump the water out. They float.
Mm-hmm. They just have 2-4 small holes in them, as opposed to, even the hex boxes float too. We simply have bigger plugs. I've floated them over a mile in 2 of the permits that you all have issued.
So in the future, if another hurricane comes along and breaks through some boxes, then what you would do is again take the outside edge, mm-hmm. put them in the middle where the broken boxes are, and then
right.
do hex.
Yeah, it would start looking a little weird. Of the 7 boxes that broke, 3 of them were green. They're like literally 1 day old from the plant. The plant was not making them sufficiently quick enough, and I think that's the big reason why we lost so many of them. They were delivered green. 2 of them actually had holes in them before the storm. Some damage. They had cracks in them. And that's, I think, the biggest problem why the first breakwater has almost all the failures, because they were green concrete when they were delivered. They weren't cured.
Any other questions? Okay. Anyone else here would like to speak? Dead the man is before the commission. You have a question?
Yeah.
Mr. McCluskey has a question. Who do you want to direct your question to?
Well, to the contractor.
All right. Come back up, please.
How do you secure these breakwaters to the bottom?
The old design just had wooden concrete pilings. I'm sorry, wooden pilings driven around them. The ones that moved in the middle, the installer did not put pilings around them, so that's why you saw that some of them had moved 4 or 5 feet in Ernesto. The new hex box actually has 2 holes in the floor that we drive concrete pilings through, and then we have marker wooden pilings sticking up at the ends, and they all are joined together to the neighbor. And I can make the concrete pilings as long as necessary. Right now they're 4 to 5 feet through the floor. I can make them as long as possible, as long as it's needed. There are 4-inch diameter holes in the floor.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Well, in the Northern Neck, information does move slow. Matter of fact, if we remember, the town of Colonial Beach didn't even realize that they were in the jurisdiction of VMRC when they replaced their town pier. So if government agencies aren't aware of it, I'm sure that private groups are even less aware of the situation. I would recommend that we would approve the permit application and to include the repair of the additional 5 boxes as needed. And then if anything in the future happens, they would need to come back and get a modification of the permit to do any future construction. And in addition, I would like to waive the civil charge, as we did in the town of Colonial Beach, but apply the triple permit fee.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion was unanimous. Okay. Item 12. 07-16-98. There you go. You still are.